Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Epiphany Radio Program. This is Deacon Louis Zemlich here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're glad you're with us here today. We have Bishop Bradley with us here today. Bishop, welcome.
Good morning, Deacon Louis. How are you?
Doing great. And we also have Vicki Cessna. Vicki, welcome.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here with us today. And, of course, this is, the Bishop had pointed out when I had come in the room and we to get ready here, that this is our first 9 o'clock show.
It's an exciting day that we begin a whole new month today, and we begin a whole new time for this great program, the Epiphany Program. So greetings to all the listeners, and hope that you'll be a regular listener.
And, of course, we try to have the Bishop on every the first Sunday of the month. Sometimes his schedule doesn't allow that, but we try our best to at least have him on once a month. And, of course, in the southern part of the diocese, you're listening on another station, which is always at 9 o'clock, but now WKZO, the northern part of the diocese, 9 a.m. is our new time. So we're going to go right into the readings, and Bishop Bradley is going to talk to us about the scriptures, and Vicki about a few things maybe about the diocese, things that are going on. But this is the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, September 1st, 2019. And our first reading is from the book of Sirach, one of the wisdom books. And our other Christian brothers and sisters, you might notice that that book might not be in your King James Version Bible. That is a wisdom book, one of the wisdom books that's only in the Catholic Bible of the Scripture. So pick up a Catholic Bible, and there's some really good wisdom books in there. So this is from Sirach 3, 17 through 18, 20, and then 28 through 29. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than the giver of gifts. Humble yourself, the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs. An attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our responsorial psalm is from Psalm 68. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The just rejoice and exalt before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord.
God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor.
The father of orphans and the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity.
God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor.
A bountiful rain you showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished, your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided it for the needy.
God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor.
Our second reading is from a letter of to Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire and gloomy darkness, and storm and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our gospel reading today is taken from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited. noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host, who invited both of you, may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So some beautiful scripture readings, and welcome everyone. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and we're meeting today with Bishop Paul Bradley, the Bishop of the Diocese of Kalamazoo, and he, of course, just got done reading our gospel reading today. Bishop, welcome.
Glad to be here to begin this new time, but same good program.
Awesome. And Vicki, good to have you here as well. Vicki Cessna, who is also in the Diocese of Kalamazoo at the Director of Communications. So, Bishop, your thoughts on the scriptures or anything you'd like to talk about today that our listeners would like to hear?
Well, I was just thinking this is a big weekend for everyone. It's Labor Day weekend, and it's hard to it's really hard in a sense to believe that it's the unofficial end of summer.
Yes.
Labor Day weekend is usually that marks that occasion. It brings an end to the end of summer. I guess most of the school children will be going back to school this coming week. Many of the Catholic school children returned to school already last week and the week before. Mm-hmm. So it's that time of year, and it's time to get back to the routines of life. It's time to get back to our normal schedules. It's time for us to think about what's coming. Fall's in the air. So yes. It's a time of change. But Labor Day, of course, is a day for us not just to have one last picnic or one last day off, but it really is a day established to give thanks to everybody for that great gift of being able to work.
Yes.
That's where the whole holiday originally came from. So for those who are gainfully employed, for those that labor in many other ways, it's a day for us to give thanks. Sometimes, you know, going to work might not be the most pleasant thing we have to think about, and yet it's the way that really does allow people to earn a living, provide for their families, mm-hmm. and to pursue their hopes and their dreams in this world. So really, happy Labor Day to
Amen.
To everybody, and we hope that we can enjoy this weekend. But I was thinking that you know, when we try to put ourselves to work for the purpose of earning a living and raising a family, we're really trying to find the very best use for the gifts that God has given to us.
Yes.
And I think in a way, in a kind of a roundabout way, as we think about the scriptures today, that's what I think is at the root of what we're hearing from Sirach, from the letter to the Hebrews, certainly I think in the gospel, it's not just, you know, Jesus isn't just teaching a lesson in good manners.
Right.
It's not, he's not just teaching a lesson about etiquette at weddings. He's teaching about what that great virtue of humility is. Sirach talked about it as well in that first reading. And I would venture to say that for most of us, and perhaps for many of the listeners as well, humility is one of those virtues that it's kind of hard to get a handle on. You know, sometimes if we try to pursue that virtue, we might be going down the path of what we sometimes call false humility.
Correct.
You know, somebody says, if I say to you, Deacon Louis, I really like your curly hair. You know, and you might say, oh, no, I don't, it's not nice at all. Well, it is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's God's gift, too, because it's natural.
You know, so I think humility doesn't mean denying that, you know, a person is talented,
yes,
or capable, or, but acknowledging what you just did,
right,
acknowledging the source of that gift.
Amen.
You didn't grow that hair.
Correct. That's right.
Your genes and
God,
what God provided for you in your makeup, and your parents, you know, they all contributed to that.
Yes.
You just inherited it.
That's right.
You try to take good care of it, I'm
sure.
Absolutely. It's not your doing.
Right.
And I think that's where humility comes from.
Yes.
It's acknowledging that we're really just stewards of the gifts that God's given us.
Yes.
So how are we making the best use of those gifts? And if we're doing a good job at putting them to good work and people acknowledge it, well, praise God.
Amen.
You know, not pat myself on the back.
Right.
But, you know, praise God for that.
Amen. And I think, you know, and I'm sure Vicki can speak of this as well, I think that this is the source that Jesus is getting to this weekend. And I think, you know, as people are going back to school, people are going back to work, you know, what do we say when people acknowledge the gifts that we have? Do we say, oh, well, you know, I worked a long time and, yes, I am a very good brain surgeon. You know, I'm the best brain surgeon. Well, did God have anything to do with that? And acknowledging that, and do we have any humility to say, or even if it's not God, say it's your parents. Say, well, you know, my parents helped me a lot, and my parents helped put me through school and things like that. So I don't know, Vicki, do you have any thoughts on that, this humility, this gift of humility?
Humility is an interesting one, especially if you do a lot of driving. I was just driving in and around Chicago, and I was struck by how humility people are. So, I mean, it's a silly example, but I like what Bishop said about, you know, it's recognizing that everything you've been given is a gift.
Yes.
And I like the idea of the wedding feast and not thinking that you're more important than someone, but being happy that you're just as important as someone
right.
else, and, you know, inviting them to that position ahead of you.
Right. And it's often talked about as being teachable too. If you have humility, you have room to be able to learn,
mm-hmm.
to be able to taught, to listen and to learn and to be able to be taught new things. Now, if you're arrogant and you're full of yourself and nobody can tell me what to do, you can learn nothing.
Well, and that would be the opposite of humility,
Amen.
Right? Arrogance,
yes.
pride, you know, what you were getting at, Vicki, you know, even being just uncaring and irresponsible when it comes to driving.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and not caring about anybody else. And that... Mm-hmm. That can get that person into trouble, but can also cause accidents. So there are reasons why the virtues are wise for us to pursue. It's not just, I mean, it is a way to grow in holiness, but there's also a lot of wisdom in trying to pursue those virtues. You know, I had Jesus obviously always uses really wonderful examples, you know, so he decides to teach this parable using the image of being invited to a wedding. Well, who isn't invited to a wedding at some point or another?
Sure.
Everyone's invited to a wedding. And I've certainly had my share of being invited to weddings, you know, even for those that perhaps I've had the great honor of being able to preside at the wedding, at the couple's weddings. But recently I had that occasion, and this example, this parable just popped out at me because it was one of those weddings where there really weren't assigned seating, and I got there a little bit late. This is for the rehearsal dinner. It wasn't at the actual reception. And I got there a little bit late, and the family wasn't around, and I had no idea where to go sit. And I didn't know all the people there all that well, except for the couple that I was, whose wedding, and some of the family members. So I did exactly what Jesus suggested. I sat, you know, at the only space that I could find that was at a table with people I didn't know. And
sure.
Just asked, do you mind if I sit here? No, no, that'd be fine. And then pretty soon somebody came by and said, hey, no, you're supposed to come on up and sit here. So it was one of those things, but I think everybody experiences that sense of, where do I belong?
Yes.
Where should I go? And you don't want to assume.
Right.
And so it's always, even just human, from a human perspective, it's always wiser to choose, as Jesus said, you know, go to the lower place. And
amen.
That will be just fine if that's where you end up. Or you might be asked to go sit someplace else. But the point is, don't assume that you belong
amen.
Somewhere else.
Amen. In case you're just joining us, this is the Epiphany Radio Program here in the Diocese of Kalamazoo. We're visiting with Bishop Paul Bradley and Vicki Cessna here in the diocese, and we're glad you're with us. So we can continue on. Bishop, any other thoughts you've got on the scriptures? And
well, you know, again, I think what's our motivation?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we do what we do? You know, I think Jesus is always urging us to consider that. What's behind the choices that we make? You know, so even as we began to hear this gospel this morning, we're told, St. Luke tells us, it was on a Sabbath. Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the Pharisees. And then he says, and the people there were observing him carefully.
Mm-hmm.
In other words,
yeah.
What's he going to do? What's he going to say?
Mm-hmm.
Where is he going to go? And it wasn't out of admiration, because the word that Luke uses there, at least in the Greek word, is with a spirit of aggression. So they were just looking, as the Pharisees tried to do a lot, a way to get something on Jesus,
right.
A way to trap him, corner mm-hmm. him, get him to say or do something that would lead to their being able to make a case against him. So, you know, I think that too is part of a good question for us to ask ourselves. What motivates us,
mm-hmm.
you know, in our relationships even with one another? Is it just to kind of get one up on the other,
mm.
you know, to say, so, what have you been doing this summer, Deacon Louie? Oh, mm-hmm. I did that and more.
Right.
You know, or are we just really interested in what did you do this summer?
Right.
So, I think it's the motivations. And again, I think that virtue of humility is an important thing that should motivate us.
Yes.
In terms of what we do and how we can be helpful to one another as well.
And I think also they're in this, you know, in Hebrews where they're talking about these days and Jesus coming into our homes to dine with us. What is our reaction to other people in talking about God? Do we talk about God? Do we talk about God in front of our children? Do we pray before meals? So I think all these things, and I think it is a source of arrogance and pride and not humility that prevents us from talking about God,
mm-hmm.
from just praying,
mm-hmm.
and even praying in public, even mm-hmm. praying in public, you know, if you're at McDonald's or something, you know, are you afraid to do that? We had Holy Day of Obligation, you know, for the Blessed Mother. You know, do we ask our boss, listen, I need to go to Mass, you know? And God is, Jesus, the Scriptures, the Church is telling us, listen, we have to put God first. This is our source of humility, our source of learning,
mm-hmm.
you know, our source of, and recognizing other people, and recognizing other people's gifts. You know, complimenting people rather than criticizing them,
mm-hmm.
right? We talked about the Chicago traffic, right? Looking for an opportunity to let somebody go in, mm-hmm. you know? So.
Yeah, because you might get there 30 seconds later if
that's
you don't.
Right. Yeah. And I think traffic is a great place. You know, lots of people bring it up. It's a great conversation piece, and it's a great opportunity for us, yes, to practice our faith. You know?
So what do you think Jesus means by saying, he always gets to the moral,
mm-hmm.
the point behind his parable. So he says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I mean, that seems pretty clear, doesn't it?
It's as some people will say, it's as clear as mud sometimes, right? But that's the challenge,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the challenge for us to.
Well, where's the exalting come? I mean, what's your take on that? The one who humbles himself will be exalted.
Well, I think the final exalting is heaven, of
course.
There you
go. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So you'll find out later, right? That's the whole saying goes.
Yeah. Even if you go and take that lowest place at the yeah. wedding banquet,
right.
and nobody comes and says, "Why don't you come and sit with us?"
Right.
At some point, you'll still be exalted.
That's
to your point.
Yes, indeed.
It's in the final. Jesus always is asking us to look at the big picture, not necessarily the quid pro quo. You do this so that you can get that. That's not, again, going to motivations. That's not the reason why we do. That's not the reason why we let people in public so that we can just be a nice person.
Right.
It's because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
That we should be kind, that we should be considerate of others.
Yes.
And if we can do that in the small daily things like driving and weddings, and well, you know, maybe we'll be do that in the bigger things. Like Jesus says, right after he says that, he says, so if you're going to have a dinner, don't invite your friends because mm-hmm. maybe they invited you and you feel like you're trying to pay them back. Or if you invite them, maybe they'll invite you to something. Don't invite your friends or your neighbors or any people of influence. Remember the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those that don't have anybody to invite them to anything. In fact, ignore them or look down upon them day in and day out. So how can we motivate ourselves to move away from that quid pro quo, what can I do so that somebody else will do it for me, and be mindful of those that don't have anybody at all to care for them.
Right. Truly giving, really giving completely. So we just have about 5 minutes left. Vicki, have you got any thoughts or anything else that's going on in the diocese?
Well, I have, like the way that in the last little advice in the gospel, Jesus always brings in the people that I guess we would call the marginalized.
Yes.
And, you know, says to, as Bishop was saying, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and kind of reminding people they get that same seat at the table. You know, they're not to be pitied, they're to be with us. And so I think, especially at his time, that was pretty radical thinking. And it's always a good reminder for us to always be thinking of those people, as Bishop said, that, you know, that aren't going to be able to repay you perhaps in that same mm-hmm. way, but it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
I think there's another point that Sirach made, as you pointed out at the beginning, it's one of the wisdom books, and it's a beautiful book, and it's full of wise, insightful ways of for us to think and live. But he says, don't go after something that's beyond your abilities. Mm. But pursue really avidly, strongly, that which you can do. Mm-hmm. Now, don't sit back and say, oh my, I always wanted to be an astronaut and never made it. You know, so I'm going to be despondent the rest of my life. Well, no. You know, be happy about who you are and what you're doing, and do the very best that you can there. Amen. Not because you weren't able to do something else. Do it in the very best way, and do it for the glory of God. When I was in the seminary, one of the things that we remembered always to put at the top of our papers, you know, like some people put JMJ to remind them of Jesus, Mary, mm-hmm. Joseph.
Sure.
We put always this beautiful phrase, UIOGD, which stood for the Latin words, ut in omnibus glorificetur Deus, so that in all things God may be glorified.
Awesome.
And that was always to remind us, whatever it is we were working on, papers or homework of any sort, that's what we were doing at that moment, so that somehow God was being glorified. Yeah. Whatever we do, wherever we are, in the moment which we live, it could be something very mundane, or it could be something very important, as long as we're doing it for the glory of God. Ultimately, you know, then that's a good motivation. And not to get back at anybody, not so that somebody will invite me,
right.
but so that we can give glory to God. He's the source of all our blessings.
Can you repeat that one more time, those initials?
UIOGD for Latin words, ut in omnibus glorificetur Deus, so that in all things God may be glorified.
And I think that works perfectly in with the message today, right? And mm-hmm. with Labor Day.
Sure.
Our jobs, whatever we do, that God may be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really beautiful. And of course, going to Mass. And of course, we're asking people, you know, go to Mass today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't been to Mass in a while, still go to Mass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you haven't, you know that you haven't been to reconciliation in a while, you can still go to Mass, and even people who are not Catholic can come to Mass, and the only thing you can't do is go to communion, but you can listen to the Word, listen to the message, and do these things that the bishop was talking about, that all things may be glorified. So it's awesome. So we just got about a minute left, Bishop. Any final words?
Well, I think as we celebrate this this beautiful Sunday, as we kind of put to bed a little bit summertime and get ready for the fall, we do give thanks to God today for all the ways that we use the gifts that God has given us, and we pray that we can be good stewards of those many gifts and to continue to give glory to God for mm-hmm. all of the blessings that He gives us. And we pray for all of those who are listening today that God will be your source of blessing, that you'll turn to Him in all your needs, and that God will bless you in abundance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Bradley. Thank you, Vicki Cessna. God bless you all. Have a great day. We love you.